Blessing to be here with members of the church, people that I'm privileged to pastor, people that I am privileged to have pastored. It's good to see them, all those that I love, many of you that I've known for a long time. I appreciate this church and the church's blessings and all their care. Appreciate your hospitality. The Lord has been gracious, as He always is to me, as He always is to all of His children, and I have been provided with a secular job, and while performing one of our most important duties, getting coffee from the coffee machine, I met there one of the one of the executives of the corporation, and we chatted for just a minute, and I don't remember what the disaster was that had just taken place, but some wicked person had done some wicked thing, and that's, you know, that it could have been about anything in the past couple of weeks. But she, knowing that I'm a pastor, she brought up some things about the rapture, and it gave me an opportunity to witness to her, and I was glad for that opportunity. I always pray for and look for those opportunities. And as she got her coffee filled, and I got my cup of coffee filled, and we went our separate ways down the hallway, she said in parting, "Well, I guess that's because everyone has free will." Now, I am a graduate of Landmark Baptist Bible College and Seminary. Brother Frank James and I believe, were the only two graduates the year we graduated. I don't know. I didn't go. If they had one, I didn't go to the graduation. I was on deputation. But I knew right away, there's no such thing as free will. Amen. And there isn't. But I thought about it for just a minute. It's a habit I'm trying to get used to. Those of you that have known me for a while know that it took me a while to get over being a drill sergeant. And I was probably a pastor or a preacher, missionary for many years before I started to learn that that wasn't a necessary way to deal with things. I thought about it, and I thought to myself, "Self, she's not talking about the theological train wreck that is free willism. All she meant was people choose to sin, and they're responsible for it." Now, that is true. I want to look at the will, the freedom of the will, for just a minute, and I'll tell you where that brings us to. It brings us to, and again, there is a horrible, ridiculous, I don't know what else to call it, but a theological train wreck. It's just absolutely doomed for failure. It will, and there's souls that are trusting in that I absolutely, now, just because someone says they believe this intellectually doesn't mean they're going to hell. But there are many people that are trusting in what free willism teaches that are going to hell. And they're going to hell because they're trusting in their decision. They're just trusting in decisional regeneration. And that is, and it's not just wrong, it's ungodly. I have much more respect, mentioned last night, for those that will crawl on their hands and knees down the aisle and bloody themselves. I have much more respect for them, because at least they understand if you're going to work your way to heaven, it's going to take something. A lot more than just saying, "Well, here we go, here's a prayer. It's kind of like open sesame, let me in." Now, they're crawling on your hands and knees, there is no work. No matter what you sacrifice, no matter what you do, they will earn your way to heaven. But certainly they at least respect God enough to believe. A couple little words, signing a card, and God's got to let you in. They understand that's not enough. Now, what they don't understand is that nothing except for what Christ has done is enough. And they're not going to go to hell. Because they bloody their knees, and they're not going to go to hell because they've signed a card and prayed a prayer. But those that are trusting in works and not Christ will not enter into the kingdom of God. It's only, it is of works, but it's of Christ's works, not of man's works, lest any man should boast. Turn with me, please, in your Bible to Romans chapter 1. I want to start where we're going to stop so that we know when we get there. Romans chapter 1 and verse 20. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. That is, because there is creation. Because you live, because you breathe, because you think, I don't care if you can't see creation. I don't care if you can't even hear the birds. I don't care if you are deaf and dumb and lazy. You still know that you exist. And you didn't do it yourself. Life is proof that there is a God. But it goes beyond that. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Lord, I ask that You'd bless us as we look into Your Word. That, Father, You know I have nothing to say, but I ask that You'd speak through me and glorify Yourself. In Jesus' name, amen. That is, not only do they have proof, intellectual proof, because they exist, and they know they didn't do it themselves, that there is a Creator, there is a God, but they know every son. I don't mistake this for there being a spark of goodness in any man. They are spiritually dead. Every soul is born into this world completely and entirely depraved, but they have a knowledge. It's not a spark of goodness, but they have a knowledge that there is a God. They know there is a God. Why do you think the atheists hate God so much? Now, does that make any sense? You know what? I don't hate the Easter Bunny. I don't hate Him at all. He can, you know, do His little thing and lay His eggs and above. You know why I don't hate the Easter Bunny? He doesn't exist. Wouldn't that be stupid? Wouldn't that be stupid to hate the Easter Bunny? He doesn't exist. They hate God because they know there's a God. They just don't want Him to exist, and they hate Him. They deny His existence, but that's only a facade. They will not come to the light because their deeds are in darkness. Their life, their heart is in darkness. They hate God, and they will not come to the light. They know there's a God, and they actively hate Him. Therefore, they are responsible. Is man responsible? Yes. I used to say I believe in all 5 points of the doctrines of grace. I prefer to pip and not to lip, because I prefer the term particular redemption rather than limited atonement. I just think it explains it better. I'm not a Calvinist or any other kind of ist. But two-pip pretty well explains it, but there's no such flower, so it's called two-lip. But I say I believe in all 5 points twice. That makes me a 10-pointer if somebody wants to call me something. I do. I believe very, very strongly. I believe there's things I believe that are in the Bible, and I don't even like them. But I know they're there. My flesh doesn't like it very much, but I know it's true. If there's the elect, there's the non-elect. And boy, that gets people nervous and don't even want to talk about that. And we'll leave it alone, I guess, because that's not the topic. God didn't give me that. But it's a fact. And yet, don't you ever think for a minute that man is not responsible. That's what, and if I had time, I'd love to go there. I won't. But that's what Romans 9 is all about. and it takes you to Romans 10. But right now I'd like you to go to Jeremiah chapter 13. Jeremiah chapter 13 and verse 23. Can the Ethiopian change his skin or the leopard his spots? They may also do good. And they can't. That's a rhetorical question. They cannot. Then may ye also do good that are accustomed to do evil. Understand this, man's will is not free to save his soul. Now, if that's what you think free will means, there is no such animal. That is decisional regeneration. That is the most ungodly, filthy, and evil. Oh, and I know, you know, Baptists get into that. And I mean, we just don't like them old nasty Catholics. Oh, I mean, they whip themselves, and we laugh at that. And yet Baptists are telling people, do you want to go to heaven? Oh, I won't. Do you want to go to hell? Raise your hand if you want to go to hell. Well, nobody raised their hand. Would you raise your hand? Can I get a witness? Would you raise your hand if you want to go to heaven? Oh, everybody raises their hand. Oh, Lord, I don't want to go to hell. Would you repeat after me? Lord, and I won't go through it all because it makes me sick to my stomach every time Joel Osteen does that little thing. It's just like a side thing to him, you know. Lord, and we're sinners. Would you forgive us in Jesus' name? Amen. Did you pray that with me? You're saved. Oh, come on. That's filthy.
Amen.
I'm sorry, but it's ungodly to think that salvation is so cheap. All you got to do is go make a decision. I make a decision whether I'm going to have a hamburger or a cheeseburger. Is that what salvation is? That's ridiculous. Now I know those that believe in self-flagellation, big fancy term means they abuse themselves. They cut themselves with whips and they harm themselves and bruise themselves and walk on cold stones thinking that that will somehow appease God for their sins. I know that's ridiculous, but at least they understand that their sins require a price. Now, it's not going to save their soul. And perhaps you could take that and work on that and say, but there's no price you could pay that is sufficient. There's nothing you can do that would please God, but it is the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. It is His, because it takes, and it took, suffering and death to make payment for your sin. Well, does the will exist? It does. There's things I want, and there's things I don't want. We all know that. It's choices you make every day. Is it free to seek what it desires? Well, here's how this works. It's free to want what it desires, but it's not necessarily free to get it. The answer is yes and no. I've used this example many times, but let me just share this with you. If I go out in the parking lot, have you ever wanted to fly? When I was a little boy, I used to lay on my back in the grass, and I'd watch the birds fly, and I thought, I'd love to fly. Wouldn't that be cool to fly? And I thought I just would like to fly. So I thought to myself, I'd like to fly, and if I go out in the parking lot, and I will to fly, will I fly? No, I won't. Now, I may want to fly. I might jump off the building trying to fly. But I won't fly. See, the will is not free to seek whatever it desires. because it cannot achieve it. It is free to want what it wants. It may not achieve it, but it does want it. Thus, man's will is a prisoner, and therefore not free. A prisoner of two things. A prisoner of the nature, and a prisoner of man's ability, or rather inability. Turn to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 11. If ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Now, God, what's the difference here? My son might ask me of something good, and I might want to give it to him. But I might not be able to. For all of my wanting to, I might not be able to. For all of my trying to, I might not be able to. God is able. Now, I'm not going to leave you with this very long because I know it will get a lot of people all stirred up, but I want you to understand this. In the sense that some people believe in free will, God's will is not free. It is not free to seek that which is against his nature. I don't want you to think that there's anything God cannot do. And he is able, but God cannot desire that which is opposed to his nature. Even God cannot. But God can give everything that it's his will to give. He can do everything it's his will to do. Man cannot. So there's things even that I want that I cannot. There's things I would do for my children. There's things I would do for my wife. There's things I would do for church members. Have you ever as a pastor wanted, desired, saw that you just change them? Because you know they're headed down the road to destruction. But frankly, you cannot. God can, but you cannot. Amen. So the will certainly is not free. Man's will is a prisoner. And I said even God cannot do that which is opposed to his will. Look with me very quickly in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter... I know I'm moving rather quickly. I had some people in church say, Pastor, I know that you've only got 30 minutes. Would you like me to hold up my hand and wave it when you get close? I don't know what that means. I don't know why they thought I'd need that. But I'm trying to move quickly, so you don't turn there if it's too fast for you. 1 John chapter 3, verse 3, and every man hath this hope in him, purifieth himself, even as he, speaking about God, is pure. And 7 says, little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he, God, is righteous. All right, go back to James for just 1 second. James chapter 1, verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil. Neither tempteth he any man. God cannot desire evil. He's not capable of it. If he were, he wouldn't be God. God himself. Now here's how this is supposed to work. He who loves evil and hates God can choose of his own to oppose his nature and seek God. Can't happen. Man cannot. God himself. Because it is an impossibility to desire what you... How are you going to make yourself want something you don't want? I mean, try real hard. Brother Steve, I want you to want broccoli. No cheese sauce. You can't want that which you hate. God cannot love sin. Cannot choose sin. Cannot want sin. Cannot do sin. Not because he is unable, but because it opposes his nature. So I want you to understand man's inability, man's depravity, the fact that man will not come. Yes, man is unable. But he's unwilling. And being unwilling is the greatest thing. It is the most condemning thing. It is that which ruins the soul. They are unwilling. Turn with me to Romans chapter 3. And I'll close in just a moment. Now, I think I started it. Did I start at 10:50? Got to 11:20. All right. Romans chapter 3. You know, even as far as the will is free to seek what it desires and powerless to accomplish what it desires, man is still free to desire and to will, sprout wings and fly to the moon. If his nature tells him to, if he wants to. But man cannot of himself desire God. Amen. The Bible says, seek and ye shall find. Now, there's a lot of things I could say to that verse and who it's actually speaking to. But I won't go into all of that. I'll just tell you this. There's many other verses in the Bible that make it very clear that anyone who comes to Christ, anyone who seeks after Christ, may have Christ. The problem with man's will is not his inability. Now, he is unable. As we've established, he could want to fly to the moon or fly around the parking lot and not be able to. He is unable because he's dead in trespasses and sins and cannot come to Christ. But I want you to know his greatest trouble is that he will not. There is no one that desires Christ, that is seeking after Christ, that wants to be saved, but dies and goes to hell because they cannot come. That doesn't exist. The will is bound to the nature. It's a prisoner of the nature. Problem with man, yes, he's unable, but I'm going to tell you, you don't even need to worry about that. The problem with man is he will not. Whosoever will, let him come. You know what that verse does? It does not offer all men to come to Christ. It condemns every soul born into this world. Because there is none that seeketh after God. No one will. That's the problem with man's will. It's not free. It's bound. Romans chapter 3 and verse 11. There is none that understandeth. You want to talk about the Romans road? Here's the Romans road. There is none that seeketh after God. So everybody that wants Jesus can have him. That's fact. Problem is, nobody wants Jesus. Nobody wants Jesus. I didn't want Jesus. I was a 17-year-old boy in a Baptist revival. I was good looking, cool, mean as the devil. Preacher said, I want everybody to raise their hand. He was a little bit like that, but he was kind of old-fashioned. He wasn't, you know, trying to get me to pray a prayer or anything. But he said, I want everybody to raise their hand. It's going to hell. I raised my hand. He said, son, do you want to go to heaven? I said, no. He said, can I pray for you? I said, if you think it'll do any good. If I had not been there without any members of my family, or I was there without any members of my family, had I been there with any members of my family, I would have been on the floor counting teeth. But as it was, I felt pretty brave. The Lord saved me. I went to look for that old preacher. He'd since died. But I went to look for him to tell him, you know what? Now, I know his prayer didn't save my soul. But I want him to know that God saved my soul. But I did not want to come to Christ. I wasn't coming to Christ. And you don't come to Christ. No one's going to drag you kicking and screaming to Christ. You know what happened? God changes your whole will. See, because the will is bound to the nature. And so God changes your nature. He brings you from death unto life. And now you will. And whosoever will, let him come. Now I want to talk to you for just a second about responsibility. Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. Every soul born into this world is a sinner by birth, by nature, and by choice. You did not have to teach your child to lie. That sweet little bit. I know that, of course, Brother Mark Clark Jr. and Nikki, they don't think that sweet little baby asleep in arms could sin. Now, they know better than that. But you know what? Sweet as their children are and they're good kids, they lie. And I don't think either, well, maybe Nikki, but I'm not sure if either one of them's ever taught them to lie. They do it by nature. And they do it by choice. And they are responsible for their choice. They hate God, they love sin, and deserve hell. Oh, they are responsible. Don't worry about, oh, they're unable. Oh, you know, let me just take you to Romans chapter 9 and Romans chapter 10, and we'll just talk about how they're unable, and God wouldn't send them to hell. They can't. They won't. They will sin. And they sin because they want to. But it makes them sin. They sin because they want to. And they are responsible. Romans chapter 6 and verse 16 says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are, to whom ye obey? Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin. But ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men, because of the infirmity of your flesh, because you're still shackled to this old nasty flesh. Now, look at this. He's pleading with Christians, with someone saved, to follow that new nature. Do you know why the Bible so often pleads with those that have been born again, those who are saved, and pleads with them to do right? Because sometimes you and I choose not to. Well, I know we can get all up into, you know, theology, and we can say, well, you know, the will is... I have a new nature, and I do not have to sin. But as Paul says in Romans chapter 7, God help me, I do sin. And I sin because I want to. Well, you don't sin because you don't want to. Oh, you know, brother, I couldn't resist the temptation. What were you doing in a place where you were tempted? Well, you kind of like the liquor a little bit, and you go into the bar and you sit down. Well, I'm just going to have a Coke and talk to him about Jesus. Oh, pretty soon I couldn't take the temptation, brother. Let's just be honest for just a second. Every time we put ourselves in a place of temptation, it's because we hope we can give the excuse that we couldn't resist, and we gave in. And that's why we're there. We sin because you do what you want to do. You can go to church if you want to go to church. I understand there's people that are providentially hindered. I've been providentially hindered from doing things that I would have otherwise known were right to do. I understand that. But that does not happen most of the time. Most of the time, you do what you want to do. We only have one nature, being born again. We have the nature that Christ has given us. But this I'll tell you. The flesh speaks to us, and sometimes we listen to that nature, being shackled to it yet. And we're responsible. Right. And it's worse, because we don't have to sin. Right. See, when a heathen sins, he does that which is natural to him. You know what? I don't get mad about a guard dog guarding territory. I'm not mad about it. He does that which is natural to him. Christians, sadly, we are the only creature, because we do not have to sin, but we are shackled to sin. We sometimes do that which is not natural to us. Kind of like a rabid dog or diseased fish. A whale that will beach itself because of a disease or a parasite driven it crazy. I'm going to leave you with 2 points. There is no such thing as free will. We understand that. A, when the law sin, they do that which is natural to them, but they do that which they want to do. They are responsible for their sin. They love sin and hate God and do that which they want to do. When Christians sin, we do that which is not natural to us, but we do it because we want to. Because of some sick, parasitic influence, we listen to the flesh, which harms us, and we choose to do wrong. It is a choice to sin. Anytime anyone sins, they choose to sin. They sin by choice. There is no such thing as free will, but man is responsible for his sin.